Hi there, this is Seth Juarez with another installment of Azure Friday with a special guest. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Hey, I'm Chris Anderson. I'm a PM on the Azure App Service team, and I work mainly on web jobs and Azure Functions.
Fantastic. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to go ahead and talk about being able to trigger off of a variety of different resources with Azure Functions.
Let's do it. Let's dive in. So basically, Azure Function is just this thing that can be called or it can be triggered on a webhook or time data. There's other videos on that. But I thought, let's focus on the data part, too.
Yeah. And that's one of the key pieces there is a lot of times, you know, in the past when we've used things like, you know, queue services or having to have like a service bus topic, I'm having to keep an active agent listening for new events on those different things. And, you know, that's costly if I'm going to have and try to run a service.
Sure.
And so the key part about functions is because we can actually only charge you per invocation for your function, this means that whenever I have that queue message pop up that one time a month, I can actually have a function go and react to that service.
Nice.
So let's go ahead and show an example of that today. In this case, I have a C# queue.
Okay.
And in this case, it's going ahead and you see that it's this trigger here is looking at this storage account that I've set up via my storage account configuration, and it's listening on this queue that I've nicknamed DemoQ555.
Got it.
And if that queue doesn't exist, it's still fine. Whenever the queue shows up and exists, we'll actually start to trigger on.
Got it.
And so the key piece there is now you see here that I actually see a bunch of results, and that's because I have a timer trigger, which is actually outputting just queue messages every few seconds. And so you see this output being simulated here.
Is that another Azure function that's pushing?
And exactly that. I just have another Azure function that's just spitting out random queue items just kind of to demo this purpose.
That's cool.
But you know, the realistic place for this to exist is I've got like a point of sale system that's going to go ahead and say, I've got a new order for you to go process. And then now this Azure function can go and like talk to a partner site, which is going to actually go ahead and you know, order that service for me. All those different things can now be orchestrated with these queues, and then I don't have to build this whole end-to-end service to do it. I just write functions for each business purpose that I want to go and solve.
That's cool. So how do you, because my confusion here is it looks like there are particular parameters that are coming in. How do you map the parameters to the right thing?
Yeah, and it's really just as simple as the fact that this particular parameter name that I specify inside of any of my integrates that I have, triggers, inputs, or outputs, that corresponds directly in the C# case to my code that I have here. This name of this parameter is mapped one-to-one with that configuration.
And so even depending on what you're putting in the queue, it might be a complex message that you're putting into a queue. This might be a JSON string, for example.
Exactly. And we actually handle that kind of data munging. So if I actually have a JSON string that I pass off in my queue, I can actually give this a POCO object or a J object, and it'll go ahead and parse it off into that JSON object or POCO object.
So it's even smarter in the sense that if you, for example, instead of string my queue item, it would be order my queue item, and if the JSON comes in the right shape, then it'll convert it to that
object. And I can show a quick example of that. In this case here, I have a function that I write to do exponential scale testing on functions. So if I ever want to, you know, really make the storage team upset, I'll go ahead and run this with like 2 to the 14 queue items trying to go through all at once.
Let's take a look at the integrate, because that's a lot of the integrate tab. Isn't that where all the parameters are?
And essentially what I've got here is it's pretty much the exact same thing over and over again. Even though this is a much more complex example, all I've got here is I have my parameter name is input. It's pointing at exponential queue sample as my queue name. And then I've got this output, and you can see that it's actually outputting back to that same queue I'm reading from. And that's how I do exponential scale, is I have one in and multiple out. And that way I just grow infinitely. And then I've got this table storage, which is actually doing telemetry for me. And you can see that way I'm able to actually track how fast am I processing each of these queue items that I'm going through my system.
All right. So let's go back to develop, so just to make sure I can, in my brain, map. So the inbound thing was the inbound thing from the integrate, and that looks like it's deserializing into an item object.
And you see here that I actually have that POCO object declared right here. And so I'm actually able to use this POCO object that I declared once again inside of this like script C# language. There's no class wrapping all of this, but I'm able to define a static class if I want to.
Or also you could use pound R and bring in an assembly with the POCO object.
Exactly. And so I can then share that POCO object across to all of my functions.
Fantastic. And then we have the outbound and the telemetry, but it looks like there's two other parameters that just you sort of get for free with Azure Functions. One is the insertion time and the other is the log. Are those part of Azure Functions?
It's part of Azure Web Jobs SDK.
Oh, I see.
If you're actually, what interesting thing is that if you ever want to like test how closely we've actually mapped those two things, if you have an existing Web Jobs SDK function and you want to move it into Azure Functions, you can actually go ahead and you can copy paste the code into Functions, remove the attributes, and instead configure those attributes via code. And it works. There's no code changes required there.
I see.
That's exactly, you know, what we've done in the system. you know, the major differences end up coming when you actually start using like Node, where we actually have a separate runtime which goes ahead and interfaces between the .NET runtime and the Node runtime.
I see. So we talked about queues. Is there anything else that's similar to queues that you could also do?
And so one very popular example is like doing image resizing on new blobs being uploaded.
Okay.
Right? And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to go show my CS image resizer. And in this case, I'm doing something bad because I'm using system drawing for this, and I should have just gone and got a image resizing library.
Sure.
But in this case, you know, simple demo.
We won't tell anybody.
Someone should yell at me.
GDI Plus still rules, okay?
And in this case here, I've got my, in this case you see here, I'm working with streams. So because we're working with blobs, and all blobs can work with streams, we're able to actually just give you a stream if you ask for it.
I see.
And so now I have streams that I can work with inside of my code, and I've got all of these inputs and outputs. So in this case, I have you know, an input named image, and then output called image small, image medium, and image extra small.
I see. So that makes sense because we're pushing out some images into blob storage. It looks like we're making a file as well. What is this SAS stuff, though? That's something new.
We've actually gone a step further, and if you're familiar with Logic Apps and how they have a whole bunch of different connectors out
of
the various SAS things,
mm-hmm.
we've actually taken advantage of all those exact same connectors, so nothing new, but we've essentially exposed those same connectors inside of Azure Functions. So in this case, we have the SAS file provider, and if you look closely at my trigger here, you see that this is actually talking to Dropbox, and so I have a whole bunch of different APIs that I can choose from, Dropbox, Box, OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, and Azure Blob shows up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just choose my existing connections. So if I were to go and select Dropbox here, you can see that I have existing connections for Dropbox generally. So I can just click on that same connection, and it maintains that OAuth, you know, connection alive for me, will refresh my session tokens. All those things are managed for me.
And every time you drop a file into, because I remember in Logic Apps, you could specify a folder location. Anytime something happened in there, it would say, here's this thing.
And that's exactly what we've done in this case. So if I jump back up to my Dropbox and I go ahead and go to one of my personal accounts, and I'm just going to go ahead and like quickly make sure that I can, so that you can see these are all my outputs that I already have. And I'm just going to go ahead and delete this one of the functions logo, so that way you guys all believe me when I say I have a new function image that will get uploaded. And then I go out to my personal again. And just use the Wi-Fi here. And then what I've got this is I've got this pointing at images demo 531.
Okay.
And I can go ahead and just upload a new image to this. And I'm going to hope that I have a good image sitting here on my, which is just my smiling face.
Nice.
For us all to see. And after that it's finished uploading, what it'll do is it'll then be available in my Dropbox. So you can see here that this has been uploaded a second ago. And then I've got this, other output that I configured for my extra small size to point to sample images out name also in that same Dropbox account. So if I go over to my sample images out, I should be able to, in short time, be able to see the actual size, you know, the actual extra small size of that. And so you can see that this actually got created 7 seconds ago. So in the time that I was talking there, it popped up. And I've got this extra small size. And if we go back to my actual function app itself, you can actually see that we have this invocation record that we actually invoked this function.
That's awesome. And so the cool thing is that we looked earlier at queue sort of triggering, and now it looks like you can also do SAS-based triggering. Is it limited to Dropbox, or is it pretty much everything you can do in Logic Apps before?
Pretty much all the different ways of talking to files instead of Dropbox. The only exception right there is Google Drive for now, where
sure.
their API doesn't work very well for this, but we're actually working on fixing that.
So. Fantastic. Well, this is awesome. We have been learning about how to do database triggering for Azure Functions here on Azure Friday. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.